Welcome back to the Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm your host, William Liu. Join me on the program, and if everything goes well, I think we're going to have him every week. Raptors veteran Garrett Temple, already your third time on the program. Garrett, I appreciate you taking the time, man.
No problem, Will. It's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I feel like, first off, I feel very relieved that you're not wearing the suit, man. Because I look down at myself and I'm like, I'm just in a hoodie right now. It's a little OVO hoodie. You know, it's fine. But if you had the suit on, this would be a mismatch. That's all I'm saying.
Now, we both got the hoodies on. You know what I'm saying? I got my yeah. Raps hoodie on. You know, you got your OVO. We matching today.
Yeah, exactly. No, we got a... Yeah, one of these, I want you to put on the suit for the interview. And I'm going to do the same. And we'll make it look super formal. Anyway, so one thing I wanted to talk to you about, just starting with the team right now, is... You know, the Raptors, I don't know if you've been part of a season like this where it's like four teams in one. You know what I mean? The starting off, like, you guys had the original starting five and you guys were trying to compete. Didn't really work out. Then OG gets traded as another team now with Quickly and RJ with the rest of the group with Scotty and Pascal leading the way. Then Pascal gets moved. Now it's a new group. And now you have this instance where a lot of injuries are happening and you're seeing a lot of young guys come in. So have you ever been a part of a season like this where you're basically like four teams in one?
No, I haven't. This is definitely the first time I've ever been a part of, as you said, this many different lineups, this many different, you know, sets of players that are playing, this many different rotations. This is new to me. And it's a great learning experience. I'm glad I'm able to be a part of it. You look at guys like Grady, in his rookie year, to be able to understand and see this early on will make him, you know, I think it'll just allow him to be able to transition throughout his career a lot easier. So it's been interesting, but you know, we're making the best of it.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, because with Darko, he's used a phrase like, we're kind of treating this like a training camp, and he's said it a couple of times. So I've been wondering for you guys in practices, like, how would you compare maybe practices at the start of the season versus, like, I guess, you know, especially later on in the year, practices get less and less anyway, but what practices are like now with a lot of new guys who are like very, very new to the whole city and the organization?
Yeah. It's as if we, you know, the NBA is pretty simple in terms of a lot of people do the same things. So getting in guys like Quick and RJ early on, just have to talk about terminology. And then getting Bruce and Jordan in, again, you're talking about, you know, different terminologies. And then getting Kelly in and Ochai, kind of the same thing. But we actually kind of switched. We changed our defensive concepts and our language. So that was a whole new thing. And then obviously having guys like Jamias and obviously Jonte coming back, it's a whole different defense than when he was really playing at the beginning earlier in the year. And Javon the same way. So we're definitely treating it like training camp. And we still, at the end of the day, we have a young team.
Yeah.
So you're going to be teaching and learning throughout the entire season. And that's where we're definitely doing that, except to, I guess, a higher extent because of all of the change we've had.
All right. So it's really interesting you're talking about this new defense. What are the broad differences, and also when did this change come in?
You know, we're weakening and stronging things now. We're okay in terms of pick and roll. So our pick and roll defense, we kind of went back a little old school. We're not sending everything to the middle like we were before. And obviously teams that have watched us over the past probably eight games are seeing that now. So this is not like insider information. So we're trying to, this is helping us protect the paint a little better, keeping things on the side of the floor. Whereas before we would send things middle and try to, you know, rely on our help defense, but teams are shooting three so much better now. So you have to find different ways. And the league is a league of, you know, things change, trends come in and they go out, you know. So that's the biggest thing, utilizing our help, our low man a little more, and making sure we keep guys out of the paint, especially without having Yak.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, with having a rim protector like Jakob, a big body in there. We need to, you know, find other ways to try to keep guys out of the paint.
Yeah.
To protect the paint. So that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And even with some of these strategies, you might still run into a guy like Jalen Duren, who I couldn't believe that guy's younger than Grady, man.
It's insane, man. We were talking about that on the bench. Every time I see this guy, he's built like a superhero.
Yep.
And he's 20 years old. It makes no sense at all. What do you have? 24 and 24 against this? Basically. 25 and 24, something like that. Yeah. A lot of instances, he's a man amongst boys. And he's the youngest one on the court, which is, unbelievable.
I kind of felt bad for Kelly in a little bit, you know? I'm like, Kelly, I know you're 32 and you played a lot of power forward in your career. Now you got to do this.
Exactly. KO is a stretch four, you know, most of his career. But with the situation we're in, you know, he got a battle.
Yeah.
And he did a great job. You know, he had a hell of an all-around game.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, Kelly can really pass for us, can really set the tone offensively. And I will say Jonte did a great job.
Jonte's good.
Battling.
Yeah.
Jonte had I would say his best game last night because of everything else besides just scoring, just the way he played the game, the energy he had, his effort, his competitiveness on the defensive end and rebounding. I was really proud of what he did last night.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I think for Jonte, you know, you could tell that he is in the right positions. You know, he's not jumping out the gym like Jalen Duren, but, you know, at the same time, he's in the right position. He's meeting guys. His energy was great. Darko complimented all the deflections that he got. You know, I think one of the topics of conversation coming out of that game like that was, like, you know, the Raptors have a lot of guys who you may be able to relate to based on sort of your path to the league, right? Like, coming in, you've been, and this is a crazy stat that I only saw this morning, but you've been on 8 different 10-day contracts in your career when you were starting out. That's got to be a league record, first off, all right? That's like a CBA labor violation, quite frankly.
I think it is a record.
Yeah.
I think it is the record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and you've joined different teams midway through the season. You've had to really adapt, been on, you know, league minimum contracts, maybe unguaranteed contracts at certain points too, where you don't know your future. So I think that's similar to a lot of guys on the Raptors right now. And I guess my question is, like, what was it for you that allowed you to stick, not just on the court, but even off the court? And how does somebody in that kind of position, like, make an impression on a team and ultimately carve out a long-term career that I'm sure they're all hoping to do?
No question. That's a great question, Will. You know, and that's one reason why I'm happy I'm in the spot I'm in, because of guys like DJ, because of obviously guys like Jamias, guys like Javon, who just got, you know, his first standard deal, Jonte. Just being able to pour into these guys and explain to them on the court what you need to do is be the best version of yourself, not try to be anything different. They brought you in because they liked your game. So don't come in, if you're a defender that, you know, gets downhill, don't come in trying to shoot threes, you know, and lack on defense. So just be yourself. They brought you in because of who you are. And then be very low maintenance. So don't be, you know, a bad locker room guy. Mm-hmm. Don't be a guy that complains a lot. Don't be a guy that, you know, if you have a, just being honest, if you have a kind of a nagging little injury.
Yeah, you got to play through those.
You got to play through it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Unless it's crazy, you got to play through it. Now, if it's a bad ankle sprain like DJ had, obviously mm-hmm. that's different. But just understanding the opportunity you have and how a lot of them don't come around mm-hmm. for guys like us that were undrafted and things of that nature. So just being grateful for the situation you're in. Not complaining about playing time mm-hmm. when coach does put you in, whether it's for a minute, you know, 38 seconds, 22 minutes, whatever it is, play as if your career depends on it, because it actually does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mentally just play free.
Right.
You know, Jamias, 10-day contract. You know, I told DJ this when he was on his 10-day, just play free. Don't think about making mistakes. You're going to make them regardless. So just play your game, play free. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're probably going to play to your best ability.
Yeah.
And then mentally, just if it's not for you, if this team is not the team you're supposed to be on, remember, you're not playing just for this team. There's 29 other teams looking at you.
Right.
And that could sign you. You know, I had one season where I was on three different NBA teams my rookie year. Because my rookie year, I was with the Rockets, and then I left the Rockets, and I played with the Sacramento Kings 2 days later in Houston. And then okay. I left Sacramento after the 10-day, and I played with the Spurs. So, against Sacramento. So that's – everybody's looking. Everybody's watching. And when you're on a 10-day contract, it's not just the Raptors that are paying attention to you. Mm. It's the whole entire league.
Do you remember what your first big break was? Like the first time you were like, oh, this happened, now I got some peace of mind. Because, you know, the way you're describing it, like you're grinding and you have no idea what's going to happen next.
No clue. Lucky for me, I had a girl my rookie year, but I didn't have obviously anybody to take care of. My first big break, I went to training camp with Miami, and they really liked me. This was right after they won the first championship.
Okay.
But they decided to go with somebody that was on the team the year before. So after about 9 games in the D League, then the Washington Wizards called me up for a workout. I worked out really well, but they decided not to take me. Then 6 days later, they called me and told me they wanted me to sign with them. But I had, you know, my agent had talked to Miami and told them, we kind of will give you first right of refusal.
Right.
And so Miami said, well, we want you. You know, we picked the wrong guy. We wish we had picked you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had already gave Washington my, you know, they called and said, do you want the non-guaranteed contract? I said, yeah, for sure. I'm not on the NBA team.
Yeah.
Then the next day we reached out to Miami just to let them know. And they were like, oh, no, we want you. So I had to choose between the defending champion Miami Heat or a 3-22 Washington Wizards team.
Damn.
And, you know, I went with my gut and knew that, you know, even though Spo called me, Dave Fizdale called me. Mm-hmm. They tried to recruit me. I went with my gut and went to the Wizards because of the fact that I was going to have a chance to play.
Yeah.
And I played. I was on a non-guaranteed deal. Mm-hmm. It was early December, late December. I was on a non-guaranteed deal for about 20 days. And the guaranteed date hit, and I made the roster. The first big break was actually the second game of that deal when I – played against the Orlando Magic. I was the backup point guard. Mm-hmm. And Jameer Nelson was playing really, like, had 14 points against our starting point guard. So they put me in a game to defend him. I played really well, and I started the second half.
Oh.
And then I started the rest of the games.
Damn.
And they decided to keep me and release the guard that was ahead of me.
Right.
So that was the first big break, and I signed guaranteed deals since then.
Did you do anything to celebrate that? Was there like
I didn't. It was just you know, I made that team, and then the next summer I signed a 1 year deal with DC, and I was just excited, man. I was ecstatic. Yeah.
I was looking at the Basketball Reference page today. And first off, do players check their own Basketball Reference page? Like, is that a thing? Have you ever opened up Basketball Reference and looked at your own resume?
Yeah, I have. We definitely check Basketball Reference because it's just so simple. Like
it is.
If we're looking up guys' stats, if we want to, like, having a debate about who's better or what they do this. That guy averaged this. When did he average 18 a game? He never averaged 18. You look at the Basketball Reference. It's very simple.
Okay.
You can see his playoff stats, all of that stuff.
Because, you know, that's what we in the media do.
We're fans just like y'all.
Yeah.
We're fans just like y'all.
Damn, I didn't know that. Okay. I was opening up Basketball Reference page, and I realized, like, I had completely forgotten about this, but you were part of that Wizards team that swept the Raptors back in 2015.
Yep.
Yeah.
When I remember Lou Will, that was the year Lou was there.
Yeah,
the Raptors used to run basically this Allen Iverson loop play for Lou to get down to his left hand all the time.
Always the left hand.
We just trapped it. We just ran our big man. We ran Nene out there to trap him before he even caught the ball.
Yeah.
And Coach Case never switched up. He kept trying to run it with Lou in the game. So I saw Coach Case last night. But yeah, 4-0. We had a lot of great first round. The year before, we had a first round. We beat the Bulls 4-1, I think, when Jimmy and Nene got into it.
Yeah.
We had a great some great first round games, you know. But second round, we couldn't get past Atlanta.
Right.
I want to say both times. Atlanta both times.
Right. You were also there when, what was the one where John Wall jumped on the table? after game six?
No.
Was that John Wall?
I wasn't there.
No? Okay.
That was John Wall.
That was John Wall.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wasn't there that then. I was there when Paul Pierce called game. But I wasn't there when John jumped on the table. That was the year after I left. And I actually, that was when they played Boston. And I actually went to, I went to watch him play game seven in Boston.
Got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Pierce, 2 years in a row, has sent the Raptors packing for a while. There was this, there's this infamous clip where Paul Pierce actually beat the Raptors. I think it was with the Nets at the time. And he was like, you know, as Paul Pierce does, he likes to talk a little trash or whatever. And he, like, took off his headband and he threw it into the crowd. And the Raptors crowd threw the headband right back at him, man. They're like, nah, get out of here.
I love it. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I love the Raptors fans, man. Shout out to the Raptors fans.
For sure, man.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere I've been, you know, Detroit, it sounded like a home game for us.
Yeah,
man.
For sure.
So just a shout out to the Raptors fans. Mm-hmm. Canada, Toronto really, really represents everywhere we go.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, speaking of your career now, and again, I was looking at the Basketball Reference page, and I realized, I was like, you know, how many players in the league right now got more tenure than Garrett Temple right now, right? And that's a nice way of saying, that's a fancy, nice way of saying who's older than Garrett Temple in the league right now.
Right.
And sure. I looked up the list. You are fifth in the league right now. It's the oldest active players in the league. So I wanted to see if you can guess the four guys ahead of you. And maybe even the rest of the guys in the top 10, but
so just age, age-wise?
Just age-wise, okay. not longevity in the career.
LeBron,
of course.
Kyle Lowry,
yeah.
PJ Tucker.
Oh, that was a tricky one. That was the one I thought you might trip up on.
No, because I played against PJ in college, and okay. I was a redshirt freshman when he was a junior or a senior, I want to say,
right.
His junior year. So I know PJ's older than me. PJ, Kyle, Bron, Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Those
are the four.
Those are the four.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I didn't know you would get Kyle because Kyle was only older than you by like a month, you know?
But me and Kyle know each other, but we were really close. So we roomed together in high school at an All-American game.
Oh, okay.
So he's born March. His birthday is this month, I want to say.
It's around the trade deadline because it's 1 year when the Raptors were playing in Tampa. Everyone thought Kyle was going to get traded at that deadline. Because he was coming into the last year of his deal.
So the Tampa year, it was deadline because the deadline was back. So his birthday is March. Birthday is March.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always joke about who's older by a few months. You say the other five, though.
So the other five, yeah, go ahead.
Wes Matthews.
That's a deep cut, man. Shouts to Wes Matthews. Got the start last night for the Hawks.
Wes Matthews. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that play 14.
Yeah.
I got to go with... Oh, Wes Matthews, Jeff Green.
Jeff Green, of course.
I want to say Joe Ingles.
That's a great pull. That's number 10 on this list right now. Oldest active players.
Yep. Next, I'm going to go with – I got to go with Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, not on the – I got up to 12 right now. I don't see his name up here. So.
Dang, okay. Yeah. Not Patty. Who else we got then?
If you want, I can give you some hints, but I'll give you good hints. Number nine on this list was a Raptor twice in his career, like two separate stints with the Raptors.
James Johnson.
Yeah.
James, for sure.
Yeah. And then the other one, this player is, quick math here, 26 days younger than you, and... has spent basically his entire career in the Eastern Conference.
26 days younger, and he spent his entire career. So he's born in May, June. So he's born in June.
Yeah.
Early June.
A great college career and also a really good NBA career as well, multiple-time All-Star. But really good college career as well.
Is he... Is he in the rotation for somebody?
Oh, yeah. He's in the rotation for sure. He's in the rotation.
Sure,
he's coming off the bench, but he's like a good player. He's been a good player for a long time.
I'm tripping. Hold on. No, I'm not tripping. He's been in the Eastern Conference?
Pretty much his whole career.
Is he in the East right now still?
He's in the East right now, yeah.
What position does he play?
He started off as a power forward, and as most power forwards become, they become centers.
Centers.
Yeah, he's...
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm tripping. I'm tripping. I'm big tripping. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, Al Horford.
Of course.
SEC guy.
Yeah.
Of course.
There you go.
And D Rose got to be up there too.
D Rose not on this list. I only got it up to 12. It says Mike Conley. I'm here. He's
Mike
36.
Conley, I'm tripping, Mike.
And then JaVale McGee. Yeah. I wasn't expecting him to be the 12th oldest player. Shouts to JaVale, man.
Wow.
You were with
JaVale.
I don't know if you were. You guys overlapped in Washington or not? Yeah.
No. I came after him, but JaVale's my guy. Yeah. For sure.
All right.
Oh, well, yeah. What about Taj?
By the way, I saw Taj was with the Pistons last night. I forgot he was
with the Pistons.
Yeah.
Taj is definitely a year younger, like around my age. I feel like he's the same age as me.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, no offense to Taj, but you look way younger than Taj Gibson.
Yo, when Taj got drafted, and me and Taj have the same age. When Taj got drafted out of USC, I was like, Taj
you're not 30?
Younger. I was like, Taj is younger than me, but he's a junior and he's a year older than me. Though. Yeah. I don't understand. Taj has had that bald. Taj's been bald since, a minute. That's my guy, though.
Yeah. No, they can't all be blessed like you, man. You know, like the hairline is still very much intact. Garrett, this is a great time, man. I got to call and catch up with you next week as well. I'll come up with a little quiz. Maybe not just about the oldest players, but I appreciate you taking the time, man. And we'll call you again next week.
Always will. Let's do it, baby.
All right. There you go. Garrett Temple. Man, not every day you could just go play Guess Who with an NBA player. But that was fun. Shouts to Garrett Temple. And yeah, we will call him next week. Anyway, we're going to take another break. I've been your host, Willow. You've been listening to The Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new Chuckie Spice Soup. When we come back, the Off-Strip Boys.